this is going to sound like a baby man thing, yeah, but I like applauding grooms.
Yes.
Let's bring applauding grooms back. I think that's Please. Cool. It was never here. Let's just like start it.
Because they also applauded the bride. We also applauded the bride, but I've never heard anybody applaud the groom.
I mean, generally speaking, don't you like it when people get applauded in public?
Oh, it's always a win.
Like pilots when they land the plane.
No.
Hello and welcome to episode number 541 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy. We're committed to educating you on things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these eminent pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast. And we are on Twitter. We don't call it its real name, at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking the Smooch, Marry, and Kills of February.
But before we do that, today is the last day. Not of all the days, probably. What if it was? What if I said it and then it was? But I wouldn't get credit because it would be the last day.
No, in my dying act, I'd upload the episode. I'd be like, people want to know.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah. For anybody who left behind, sorry. Sorry
Just
about
Just commuting through the apocalypse. This would be a nice little passenger, you know?
That's right. That's right. So today is the last day. Seriously, our 5-episode Princess Collection goes back into the vault. So if you want to snag this critically and commercially celebrated series, and by that I mean people have said nice things about it, and there are now more than 7,000 annual BFOTs in our Patreon community. And even though today is the last day to access it, it is not the last day to enjoy it. Once you snag these episodes, they're yours to listen to forever. It's your own happily ever after. Simply head to knoxandjamie.com/annual to learn more and let us hold your hand as you become an annual BFOTS. And listen, if you do not love your experience, we will refund 100% of your dollars. That's how confident we are that you'll love it. knoxandjamie.com/annual. The link is in the show notes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, Jamie, we are going to talk the Smooch, the Marys, and the Kills of February as a way to help out our listeners and guide them on what awaits them. Before we do that, though, I feel like it's always very helpful just to get a sense of, this isn't really like pop cultural, but it's just like life cultural and, you know, kind of talking about like general vibes, like for you on the month of February.
So for me, it is a mid-tier month. I mean, it's not the best. It's not the worst. Right? Here's the thing. It is a full month of winter. So I'm not down with that. I know it's the last one, but I'm really ready for us to move on from the cold. It's the shortest month, but I do like that it also sometimes is like, I have an extra day. Do you like me? I like that. I like that it's Black History Month. So Black History gets one extra day.
Right.
Congratulations to y'all. Reese's Hearts. It's my best friend's birthday. It's Galentine's Day. Groundhog Day. President's Day, which I'm not really into presidents anymore. I'm post-president.
Okay.
What's
really driving that? Like what's moving you into
just the election in general? I just don't like presidents at all.
You're like, I'm going to get my fill of presidents in November. I don't really need them in February.
Yeah, I don't need them now. It's on my birthday. Election Day is on my birthday. Do you know how horrible that is?
That's not good.
I hate it. I don't like it. And I do like February because sometimes we get the Olympics, which is super fun. And I also like, look, you know what February does? It answers the question of January. January was like, can I be a better person? And February is like, no.
No.
And I like that some of those loftier ambitions that we adopted were like, do I really want to ride a unicycle around my neighborhood? No, I do not.
Yeah.
And so we just put it away. We take it to Goodwill. We leave it in the garage. We do whatever. So that February is cool. I'm cool with February. February is cool with me.
I do. I think that's a good point, as like February is the monkey wrench in things, because the number of days is wrong, right? You spell it weird. It's President's Day, but it's also like Abraham Lincoln birthday, I think. Also George Washington birthday. So like they crowd it out, but it is like that, the wasteland that breaks you. It's almost like when you get into Leviticus, when you're trying to read through the Bible in a year.
Right.
And Leviticus is like, ha, I will break you. Good luck with this.
And I feel like, does it happen? It feels like it might happen in February. Like if you're reading the Bible through, you're like, uh-oh, I'm out of like all the plot is gone.
Yeah.
Like it's over. Like you're out of Genesis.
Oh, did you like
good
individuals?
Luck.
Did you like writing like through their story and like using them as an avatar? That's done now. We're talking about menstruation, do's and don'ts. Mostly don'ts, by the way. I had a couple tips I wrote down. I was like, if I was trying to advise someone like how to get through February, like what would I recommend? Okay. So I would say like, number one, I would just go ahead, steer into the cold. Okay. It's cold, right? Like if you're, you know, United States listener, it's cold. You can't get around it. You can't avoid it. So just like, instead of like trying to get around it, just steer right into the skid. You know, we've talked about True Detective, Night Country. It's a very cold show. It's a very weird show.
So cold.
Just go ahead and do it. Okay. Read books about cold places. We were actually on currently reading another podcast. You've a day pass to listen to it.
So
it was a great conversation. I think we've linked to it in social. You can find us talking about it there. But in that episode, I got a recommendation about a book set in Antarctica. And it's just literally called Cold People. And it's a great rec. I already read it. I loved it. And it's just about ice everywhere. And I was reading it while I was freezing, and I was like, this is perfect. I don't want to read about warm in February. I want to read about beach in summer and cold in winter. And it just gives me like a sense of place. So I think that's a good idea. I think if you are romantically interested or entangled, do something before Valentine's Day. Because as a reminder, Valentine's Day was invented to make you spend money. It's a trick of capitalism. It's not a referendum on your love. It's like being in Times Square on New Year's. It doesn't make sense. We've just been conditioned and influenced to feel like it makes sense. So don't fall victim to it. Don't look up and you're somewhere out to eat. You're at O'Charlie's on the 14th and you're sharing a table with like a million other people. Do it like the weekend before, do it a few days before, and that works well.
And also this year, Valentine's Day is on Ash Wednesday, the beginning
what?
Of Lent.
Bro.
You do not want to be out. You got to go on Fat Tuesday. Like you got to do Fat Tuesday with your lover.
That's just, look, also another tip, call your lover. Let's bring that back.
Let's bring it back.
Make lovers great again, you know?
Yeah, like when the maitre d' says, how many do you have? Well, my lover and I make two. So, like, just say it.
Look, we're going to talk about American Fiction. I greenlit it. We'll talk about it later. Spoiler alert, don't be a baby. Like, we're doing things out of order. But there's a line Sterling K. Brown delivers where he says, I've taken a lover. And Jeffrey Wright's like, don't say that. And he's like, why? Are you a homophobe? Because his character, like, it's just an amazing exchange. I don't know that I'm going to do that, but I want to encourage other people to do that, is call your romantic partner or lover. Actually, I'm going to try.
Not only, I want you to, listen, all month long, I want you to highlight your lover on Instagram and stories, tag us.
But I've renewed with my lover for this year. I continue to be in a relationship with my lover.
My forever lover.
Like, exactly.
Stuff like
I
that.
Love that.
Yeah.
Last tip, and this is just for the whiteys out there. If you yourself or someone around you or a lover you have says something like under their breath, it's always under their breath, we don't get our own month of history. Just don't shut it. That's not even a good point, because you get 11 months. Also, at this point, it's an IQ test. You're either a stupid person who thinks that's true, or you're a smart person who knows that's not true. So if that's you, push it down, push it way down. Talk to your better help person about it. Or if it's someone you love or a lover, stop lovering them. And maybe you can correct them and be like, here's what's
guys, every true. Month is a month for lovers and almost every month is White History Month. So yeah. We're good.
I would argue This might be spicy. I feel like some white history even makes its way into February. Okay. So don't even worry about that, whiteies.
I think it might be that we're celebrating all those 46 presidents and only one of them is not white.
Okay. So those are vibes and tips. I feel like that's good. I feel like that's helpful.
That's excellent tips.
Let's talk if you're new here or if you forgot, let's explain the premise of this episode. You know, from time to time we do preview episodes, but those tend to get really like concentrated focus on either movies or TV or reality TV shows or whatever. So what this is going to be is we're going to help guide you on the content within February that we think you should either smooch, marry, or kill. Smooch obviously means something we think you should give a shot to. Marry is something we think you should commit some time to. And kill is something that you should avoid or abandon. Again, we are, that's not literally kill. We are against murder. That's a platform statement of ours, among other things.
It's a core value.
It is a core value. Thank you, Jamie. Yeah. It is. It's on a banner. It's on our whiteboards. And we also, we do a smooch, marry, kill each week on Instagram. That kind of guides you. Sometimes it's specific recommendations, sometimes it's themed. But that if you're not seeing that on Instagram, you should make time to find that on Instagram so you can also be educated each weekend.
Yeah.
Jamie, understanding that, let's start with our smooches of February. What do you have?
Okay, so obviously Knox mentioned this is a month for lovers. And so I want to point out two books that I recommend, depending on your approach to your lovers or past or future or present. So if you're really down with lovers and you are into romance, I'm going to recommend the book Sex, Lies, and Sensibility by Nikki Payne coming out February 13th. Now, this is a delightful, I've already read it. It's amazing. It will a green light for life. This is about two sisters who roll up their sleeves to go to this beach town inn and they have to learn to work with the locals. And it's very spicy and it's a beautiful modern retelling of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. So okay. We have the sisters, Nora and Yan, which I love. I love Yan and Nora. And there's my favorite line in the description of the book from the publisher is, there are no other black people for miles. The place is abandoned, but at least no one will recognize her O-face in the backwoods because one of the sisters has had a sex tape leak and go viral.
Wow.
So it's a complicated tale. And there is Ennis Bear Freeman. I love that we didn't just call him Menace. We were like, he has a nickname and it is Bear. But this story is fun. It's sexy. It's the sisterhood relationship is so good. So the romance is like, but they're sharing the stage. So this was a great modern retelling. Nikki Payne does this a lot. She's already done Pride and Prejudice. That one was excellent. This one is also a winner. So that's if you love love. If you hate love, then I'm going to recommend reading Night Watching by Tracy Sierra. It comes out February 1st. This is opens and this is dark. And like Knox said, I think of winter as murder and summer as sex. I don't know why. And sometimes summer has murder, but winter feels like when, because you're just sad. You need more vitamin D. So you're more likely to murder. I don't think that's statistically accurate, but no matter. This starts out in this mother who is hiding in a tiny secret room in a New England home with her 8-year-old daughter and her 5-year-old son. And they're trying to keep quiet because there is an intruder in the home. That's how we open our story. And they're very scared. And I was very scared. So this is a creepy book. I would read this in the daytime and leave it in the freezer. But as the story unfolds, we have our mother, Sierra, who is kind of flashing back to how did we end up here in this house with an intruder? And then, of course, more gets revealed about maybe there's a reason she hasn't called the police because maybe she knows who the intruder is. Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh.
But it's a lot. How this the ending sticks the landing so beautifully. There's no gimmicks. It kind of gets past all the sketchy tropes of a mystery thriller. And you are going to be sitting on the edge of your seat trying to figure out what Sierra is going to do next to escape this intruder. It's so good. But it's not for people who love love. You are going to be if you get annoyed by love, you're going to love this book. Like,
okay. You've got options. I think that's great. That you've executed flawlessly. But Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens refused to do, much to my financial chagrin and everyone else's, which we're not here to talk about. It's fine. Everyone's
doing feelings about it, though.
Also, can I borrow $16,000? We'll talk about it after recording. It's not a big deal. But let me ask this. I looked up. I fact checked you because you said sometimes murder happens in the summer. Fact.
Oh, okay.
That is correct. You are correct. Okay. That does happen.
Oh, my at it, you guys.
Murder rates are generally higher in the summer, actually. It's
the humidity. People, I would guess, got nothing to do.
I think it's like swamp. That would be my first theory, is like, I should commit a murder because of this. It pushes me over the edge. Secondly, and this is topical because we're talking about serial killer February. What month do you think most serial killers were born in?
January.
No, that is incorrect. Do you want to second guess?
Leo's.
I refuse to acknowledge that answer. I don't know what that means.
Maybe June? Cancer?
No, incorrect. I said topical because
it's November.
It's you.
It's me. Listen,
do you know double the amount of serial killers are born in November than any other 100%. Month?
100%. Now, as a reminder, I went over astrology facts, and the most victims are killed by Capricorn. But serial killers are born. They're so mean.
I'm not engaging. I'm writing the timestamp down so I can play clown music. I don't know what any of that means. I just thought that was very interesting, but I like having options with my books.
Well, I'm just saying, if you are a Capricorn or a Scorpio, I would not make the other your lover because it's going to be real mean in your house. Real mean.
The thing I want to smooch in January is a movie. It's called Drive Away Dolls. This is a movie by, I guess... I don't know what the plural of Cohen is, the plural. So Kowai, I don't know what a singular Cohen is. This is one of the Cohen brothers, Ethan Cohen. But this is essentially, it's comedy. It's almost, I don't want to call it slapsticky because it's not slapsticky and I don't really like slapsticky. It almost feels, buddy road trip movie caperish, you know?
Yeah. No, I like that.
Kind of got like an older sensibility, but modern lens. And it follows, two main characters, Marion, and Jamie, played by Margaret Qualley, and Marion is played by Geraldine Viswanathan. Essentially, they are looking for a fresh start, and they want to go on a road trip to Tallahassee, which that detail tells me everything I need to know about this. You know, if you're like, I need new and better, I'll go to Tallahassee. I understand everything about you, and I understand the flawed nature of your hopeless quest, you know? But obviously, hijinks ensue, things go awry. They're forced to interact with criminals accidentally because of something that happened in transit. This movie, beyond the Cohen aspect, is, if you watch the trailer, I was interested in Margaret Qualley's accent because she's going full Southern, and full it passed my muster test. You know, I haven't seen the movie, obviously. So I reserve judgment until I see it. But I liked what I heard so far. You've got a Pedro Pascal appearance, and it feels cameo-ish, which is my favorite thing for like a big star to do. You've also got the trailer is riddled with the Cohen like dry humor sensibility, which I think it can be hit or miss, but it's really hit in this so far. And then the rest of the cast, you know, I mentioned Margaret Qualley, Geraldine Viswanathan. She was in Miracle Workers on TBS, which was excellent.
Yes.
Beanie Feldstein shows up. Matt Damon's in this. Bill Camp, Coleman Domingo. It's a really good kind of murder's row of actors. Kind of had a Nice Guys feel to me. The Russell Crowe, Ryan Gosling,
Shane Black movie. That's good.
You know, kind of dated, but also really textured. I was really excited. Did you watch the trailer? Have you seen this?
I did watch the trailer because it was on like a list of, you know, the movies coming out, and I just loved their vibe. And I did see that the movie was originally called Drive Away Dykes.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, so they didn't want to keep that. Focus Features was like, let's call them dolls, which either way, I'm in.
Do you think Drive Away Dykes, they were like, this might do too good in China. Let's chill it out. You know,
they're like, we don't want Americans to feel less than.
The South and China might just like overwhelm the movie theaters. So let's change the name a little bit.
That might've been an issue. Yes.
I wanted to check like this, you know, I feel like Margaret Qualley, she has been orbiting, not our pop cultural consciousness, but she feels like one of those big deal people, about to break through in a big way. I don't know if this is the vehicle necessarily, but I wanted to get a sense, like I was trying to think through her trajectory, like see if we could pattern recognize, like who does she remind you of, or what kind of career does she have going? I've got two options for you to consider. Okay. I don't know that they're correct, but I kept thinking of, this is not like a leading lady type person. Although I think she has leading lady talent, right? So she usually seems to kind of be on the periphery character-wise. And because of that, I feel like she does really good work. Like, I always like when she shows up. You know, obviously, I think she was main character of Maid, which was TV, I think.
And she was nominated for an Emmy. Yeah.
That's right. So I think she's really, really good. She's a really talented Nepo baby situation. But I kept coming back to Renee Zellweger and Amy Adams. Does any of that make sense to you when you hear it?
Well, I secretly hope more for Amy Adams than for Renee, only because Renee was so hot and fire and then disappeared because Hollywood did not know what to do with a woman that was hugely popular in 2001. And now it's 2021. They were like, oh, no, you're too old. But now I think Hollywood has started to figure out like, oh, women still do stuff after 38. That's fascinating. And so I do like Amy Adams, the vibe, because for those who don't know, Margaret Qualley is the daughter of Andy McDowell.
That's right.
Who is not a career you want to mimic. No offense.
But it feels like she was stuck in that, like, I'm attractive enough to be a leading lady, but I don't know that Andy McDowell had the chops. Whereas I feel like Margaret Qualley does, but it feels like she's being really intentional about picking offbeat, interesting, working with interesting people and offbeat roles to work with.
Yeah, because on her, she's got a horror film coming up with weirdly Demi Moore and Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested in. And then she's also going to be in the next Yorgos Emma Stone movie.
Bro, I don't love that. Ray Liotta. Okay, no? Ray Liotta. No, this is not disrespect. Ray Liotta, still out there cooking. And I feel like we had his in memoriam at the Oscars like 6 years ago. Are we okay with that?
Like, I don't know why this film got delayed. Like, why has it? Because he died almost 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he was doing like pharmaceutical ads. And then I thought that was it for him.
What if this is Ray?
Ray I. Liotta? Boom. Let's go. I'm all in. I'm back in, baby.
You're back in. Because Ray Liotta, he still had some stuff. He had some stuff to do. He wasn't finished.
Yeah. Look, Goodfellas, that was like a billion years ago, but whatever. But he was in The Sopranos origin. And he was really good in that. He legit was really good in that. So,
yeah.
Okay. What else you got to smooch for February?
Okay. My next smooch is a new album that's coming out in February. Look, we're going to get to the Kill album because there is a Kill album. Oh, big time. But my smooch one is from Brittany Howard. It's her second solo album. Brittany Howard, who was the lead singer of the Alabama Shakes. I'm obviously biased. She is from Alabama. She has 4 Grammy wins, 9 nominations. This album, which comes out February 2nd, so this week, the first 2 singles are so good. I just like turned them up loud and did my house stuff. And it just has like this perfect like blues rock funk to it. And her voice is a killer every time. And so she wrote this during, she went through a divorce. She moved to Nashville. She had another breakup. So many lovers, so little time. And this is the album that kind of came out of the pandemic. And I love a pandemic album because it's like, who you talk about? You talk about Fauci? You talk about your ex-wife? I don't know. And I like it. And so this is the album that I highly recommend. Brittany Howard, Alabama Shakes, iconic. They won many Grammys. I like her vibe because you're just, and she says, look, all these things break and go bad and I'm the common denominator. And I do like that about her album, of her acknowledging it's like, oh, I might be the problem. Like truly, like I may be. And I think Taylor has allowed all of us to be like, hi, it's me. I'm the problem.
Yeah.
It's me, you know? And so that's what I'm really excited about, this album. And so the album is called What Now? And it comes out February 2nd.
Okay. I'm excited to listen. I love, I remember, what was the HBO show? Pretty Little Lies? No. God, yes. I always do that. Pretty Little Big Liars should be the crossover. We all agree on that. Big Little Lies. When that like 6-year-old had the best playlist ever.
Ever
had Alabama Shakes on it. I was like, what is happening right now?
Question. I saw a tweet this week that said that if you give me an Apple Music playlist, that's like texting me with a green bubble.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that feels right. That feels right.
I'm just fascinated by the people using Apple Music.
I honestly didn't.
Why is Apple Music not even the most popular thing for an Apple phone user? It's weird, right?
I don't think I knew you could make playlists. I don't know that I knew that Apple Music was a thing anymore. I honestly didn't know.
It is still around and people make playlists, and but it didn't have a Wrapped, and it just doesn't have a marketing team. I don't understand why no one's trying to make Apple Music happen. Not even Apple.
Does Pandora have playlists? I'll ask Christiana at our next meeting. I'll be like, you have a playlist from Pandora and will you send it to us? Because we want to see it.
Again, Christiana at our company uses solely Pandora to listen to music.
That makes more sense than Apple. Apple is lukewarm.
Weirdly,
and Jesus is going to spit you out his mouth because it doesn't. You're a person without a country. I don't understand what you're doing.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
I'm going to smooch. My last smooch for February is I want people to smooch. Traitors and Survivor.
Yes.
Okay. We have Traitor season two happening right now as we speak. Okay. Alan Cumming is like being fashionable and mysterious as we literally sit here and speak in a mansion in Scotland. Later this month, at the end, Jeff Probst will be rugged and American with a new cast of survivors in Fiji. Okay. And they are, for just a few glorious moments, they're going to overlap. The Venn diagram of reality TV will be perfect and complete. And you'll have like the beginning of Survivor and the end of Traitors. And I only say that because Survivor, we talked about, blah, 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 whatever. It's a good show. You should watch it. Traitors, I think I greenlit it the first season last year. Traitors season two, let me just say, they upped the ante with this cast list. It is, I'm just going to read you some people. Okay. They did a good job of like grouping people from the same shows with baggage together. So you have Parvati Shallow, Sandra Ortiz. They're like the queens of Survivor. You got P four times. He's just in the mix, which is a beautiful thing.
I just love that he's there. Yeah.
I just love that he's there too. You've got CT and Johnny Bananas from The Challenge, which is just immense and excellent. You have a bunch of Real Housewives. I don't know them. They seem really good at what they do, which is chaos.
Phaedra, like that's the one I know, is Phaedra.
Phaedra, she's having a great season. And then randomly, there's a former British politician. No reality show experience.
Oh.
He just was in politics, so he's there.
Wow.
But the piece de resistance is, so the show has Michael Jordan's son, okay, Marcus Jordan. They also have Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, okay? Scottie Pippen was Michael Jordan's co-pilot on some of the best Bulls teams of all time. His ex-wife and Michael Jordan's son are banging and they're together.
No way.
And I just, if someone had told me that 20 years ago and said like my 12-year-old or whatever, I don't do math, but whatever age I was, they'd be like, Michael Jordan's son and Scottie Pippen's wife will be having a sexual relationship and they will be on a reality TV show for you to watch. I just don't know how to process that.
How old is his son? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I would say early 30s. And Larsa Pippen, I would say when she was with Scotty, she's probably on the younger side. That's just an educated guess. You know,
I'm looking right now. Larsa Pippen is 49 years old.
Okay. So, you know, and she's been preserved so well. So
Marcus Jordan is 32. I do like that his, on the Wikipedia, it has a column called notability and his is fashion entrepreneur.
Yep.
It's like when they say Jeff Bezos' ex-wife is an author. It's is she?
She is. Okay. Absolutely. 100%. It's really well-crafted intrigue. They do a good job of like changing the game a little bit. So I think if you like reality TV strategy, you've got a perfect setup here by catching up on Traitors, finishing it up, and then going straight into Survivor, and like your spring is set. So I think that's a good plan.
And look, we don't need every show to be heavy lifting. Sometimes we just want to watch a show, also be looking at our phone, and enjoy a good time. Like that's how we want to spend a Tuesday night. So
I will say this: this is not a spoiler, but there's a conversation at a table in Traitors. Okay, and it was the most elite psychological warfare I'd ever seen. Because a contestant accused one of the mystery bad people of being an alpha male. And so all of the male contestants were in checkmate because they wanted to be seen as a alpha male.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you do throw suspicion on yourself and get the potential of getting voted out. Meanwhile, no one spoke to PD four times and considered him an alpha male. Wasn't in the conversation. He tried to interject, but they were like, bup, bup. The adults are talking, sir. Please go.
they would have been like, call Barb and find out if you're an alpha male, because she would tell you you're not.
It was one of my favorite moments of reality TV in a long
time. Oh,
that's
perfect.
Okay, Jamie, let's talk about Mary's for the month of February. I'll start off. I'll go fast here. This is a show. It's called Shogun. It's on FX, Hulu, you know, whatever you fancy between that. But it's a historical drama. It's a limited series. It's based on a James Clavell novel by the same name from 1975. And let me just hit you with, like, here are the tentpole character premises. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
You got the collision of two ambitious men from different worlds. You have a mysterious female samurai. You have an English sailor named John Blackthorne, who's a risk taker. He's shipwrecked in Japan. Lord Torinaga, a powerful kind of, consider him a feudal lord. Who has political rivals like a Littlefinger, and then Lady Mariko, a woman who has invaluable skills. She has a dishonorable family, and she's trying to prove her value and her allegiance. Does any of that sound interesting to you?
No, all of that, all of that, all of it. I am into it. And I'm looking right now at the cast. Everyone is hot. Holy moly.
Everyone's super hot. And I think, you know, the reason I want to talk about this, I've seen the promotion a lot, you know, in the last couple weeks. It looks like $1 billion. It looks so good.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage people to marry it because there are a lot of people behind the scenes, a lot of the writers, a lot of the directors, like Frederick Toy is one of the main directors. He did The Boys. He did Watchmen, The Terminalist. He did Lost. Like this isn't just like flimsy IP that we hope like people like. These are professional TV makers and they've made an incredible product. But I think sometimes there can be some cultural hesitation that goes into period piece anything Asian, because people are like, I don't understand how does this intersect with Jesus or George Washington, you know, like help me with that. Right. But I think similar to British TV, you know, both comedies, but also probably legal procedures, I would say, we really quickly acclimated to those. And now it's just like secondhand. Yeah. Like let's do that. Like let's do a Happy Valley, or let's do a Such Brave Girls. And it's a no-brainer. I think we've gotten stuff like Pachinko, Beef, Squid Game, Parasite. I'm generalizing, you know, the definition of Asian, obviously. But I think hopefully that's made people more comfortable with maybe being out of your comfort zone with like samurais or 10th century Japan or Korea or China. And understanding like it doesn't have to have an NCIS or CSI or like a Chris in it to be something worth spending some time with.
I know, but if you are like, what will we do without the white people? Don't worry, they got a British guy to play John Blackthorne, and so you'll have a comfort white that you can look at every so often, and then enjoy the rest of the show.
You got a little binky whitey. Okay, he's gonna walk you in.
Show need a binky whitey? I think it does.
I do think shows that are not natively like European or American, we need to start looking for the binky whitey, because there's always a binky whitey. Like Martin Freeman in Black Panther is a binky whitey, right?
A binky whitey for sure. Like we either call it binky whitey or we call it, as we know, Mork.
But yeah, like and also like samurais are knights. Okay. Samurais are like medieval knights. So if you're like uncomfortable,
better.
The cooler costume, but it's the same thing. So if you like knights, if you like King Arthur and Lancelot, like you'll like samurais. So just like, don't be weird. Okay. Yeah. Jamie, what are you marrying for February?
Okay, so mine is also a TV show. The show is Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Guys, I'm so excited. So this is an upcoming spy comedy TV series created by Francesca Sloan and Donald Glover, our beloved Donald Glover. It's based on the 2005 film that ruined Jennifer Aniston's life, and maybe kind of ruined Angelina Jolie's life, if you're going to think about it. But no matter, Brad Pitt leaves bodies everywhere when he goes. So, but what I love about this is this premieres this week, February 2nd. We were sent screeners, so I was able to watch some episodes. I cannot get over it, because when this was first announced, it was supposed to be Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Right.
And I was overwhelmed by how excited I was, because I think Donald Glover has chemistry with everybody.
Fact.
Like male, female, young, old, babies, dogs, everybody.
Yep.
And I was so excited. But then Phoebe Waller-Bridge left over creative differences with Donald Glover. And I'm mad at myself, red light to me, for being sad, thinking that maybe like that Donald had done something wrong.
Sure.
Which, again, we're learning. It's Black History Month. Sometimes it's the white person who's the problem. And I think in this case it was, because they brought in Maya Erskine, which I think was an unconventional choice, because she was the star of Pen 15. And if you've seen that show, that Green Light that I love on Hulu, you see her in this trailer and you're like, so are you supposed to be Angelina Jolie? And listen, her in an interview recently said, hey, I looked at Angelina Jolie too and said, oh no, I can't be her. So I have to do something different in the show. And listen, their chemistry, butter knife. Like, it's so ridiculously fantastic. I was not prepared how sexy they are together. And there's something comforting about it not being, which I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge is not classically hot either.
Sure.
So I think there is something lovely about like more normal looking people, as normal as either of these two people can be. But again, it's two spies are paired up to pretend to be a married couple as John and Jane Smith. And here's the fun thing. Same thing you talked about earlier. We get some Murderers Row, even though we're anti-murder, Murderers Row cameos in Parker Posey, Michaela Cole, Paul Dano, Alexander Skarsgård, and Sarah Paulson. They're showing up in the show in kind of some of the funnest ways. Sharon Horgan, who we love here at the PMG.
Good.
So I highly recommend it. So this starts this week on Amazon Prime. That's where you can watch it. And all the episodes launch. So you're going to want to watch this. You're going to love it.
Okay. I'm going to marry a book. This is a nonfiction book. It's called Fluke by Brian Kloss, I think. He's a social scientist. He writes for The Atlantic. And essentially, he does a deep dive on randomness, of chance, of the structure and the order of chaos. So I think, you know, I listened to him on a podcast on Plain English with Derek Thompson recently, and he was talking about Stanley Cups. And like why, and they explained, along with Amanda Moll, they explained like why Stanley Cups are a thing. And the, you know, too long didn't listen is some of it is choices people made, intentional choices. A lot of it is just random chance. And I like that idea. I've always been fascinated with how much of the things that happen are because specific things were happening. Like the great man theory of history, is it because a great man arose and did something, or is it just like a constellation of factors and conditions that allowed something to happen? I've always felt like the latter. And Brian, I think this book is kind of talked through that a little bit, just with the random things that had big, you know, butterfly effect influences. So, there's probably a big old nerd alert on this for some people. But if you do find yourself inclined by a book with a topic like this, I think you'll really enjoy Fluke by Brian Kloss.
No, I really want to read this. I've already pre-held it at the library. I really want to read it. Look, Stanley Cups, real quick. Did you see about the lead? Hey, if you're listening, if you're listening, stop it. You're ruining everything. Mm. Stop it.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you talking to Stanley? Or are you talking about people who are talking about the lead in Stanley?
I'm talking about the people who are like, I'm testing this for lead. Listen, they've explained it to you. They're like, the lead is underneath. You have no exposure to the lead. But now everybody's freaking out. And I think, to be honest, Simple, Modern, and Yeti are like, yeah, that's right. That's right. They also have lead in theirs too, guys. They all have lead. That's how the vacuum works. I don't understand what you're saying. But you're not exposed to the lead. Here's what makes me mad. It's the same people who are like, did you know there are preservatives in this? Yes, that's why we can wear this foundation for a year. But now we can't anymore because you all lost your minds and convinced them. And now my foundation lasts 4 days. And then it's like, it smells because we couldn't put any preservatives in it. It makes me so mad. I get it. Some of you, but the problem is you're removing it for the rest of us who are like, I would rather die with this cup from lead than have to use something else. Stop ruining everything.
It's the unfair removal of nuance is difficult, but also at the same time, I just being honest, there's a conspiratorial aspect of me of being like, no, there's lead, but it's cool. It's cool. Don't worry. I do think, should I worry?
What if I told you that the person who found the lead, quote, found the lead, is an account called Lead Safe Mama?
Well, it's there in the name. And Mama just completely, I don't believe you anymore when you say that.
Listen, lead is bad. I'm not pro lead. lead. Yeah. But I'm like, is it the safe use of lead? It just, again, I cannot with people read one study. And listen, you don't even read a study. You just let lead safe mama tell you something. And yeah. then you're like, well, that is what it is.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for? And what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Okay, that was my last Mary of February. Jamie, do you have another one before we move on?
I have one Mary, and it's a quick one. It's Diablo Cody. She has a brand new movie coming out February 9th called Lisa Frankenstein. I am in. It stars somebody who I think is, it's almost like the Mia Goth of like horror comedy.
Okay.
Whereas Mia Goth is just scary and
horror.
Sad.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And then Catherine Newton from Freaky that you loved. Yep. Catherine Newton. She is starring in this fresh take on Frankenstein, but it's set in the 80s. It is a horror comedy. It's directed by Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter. It's her directorial debut. And it's the story of a young love, a teenager, and her crush. God, we got Cole Sprouse. I don't know why I'm drawn to him.
Okay.
I just am obsessed. I'm a little obsessed with him, and I'm not healthy. It's not healthy. He's grown. I'm not obsessed with Lil Cole Sprouse. I'm obsessed.
Do you find yourself when you have to clarify he's grown? Does that like make it weird for you?
Because I think some people forget that he's grown up and they're like, you're into that twin from the hotel. And it's like, no, I'm not into the twin from the hotel. Although identical twins are better than paternal twins. But Cole, I like that they're like because he happens to be a corpse in this movie. And I like that too. He's a sexy corpse. I've seen the footage. I am impressed. Yeah. So it's a Diablo Cody month. So I'm recommending you marry her IMDb.
Okay, let's go to Kills of February. This is a TV show that nobody wanted. Even when they announced it, no one was like, awesome. And especially now, no one's interested in it. it's The Walking Dead : The Ones Who Live. And honestly, when I watched this, so it's coming at the end of this month. It's going to be on AMC. It's Rick and Michonne. And, you know, it's their story. They got separated. They were lovers. I think are lovers. Maybe it's just like
they are lovers. Pause. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're apart. Right. So they're looking for each other. Can't find anybody. And this felt a little embarrassing. And it reminded me of, so the In the Bear, the Feast of Seven Fishes episode, where Odenkirk's character is yelling at John, whatever, Bernthal, about like, you tell the same story over and over. No one likes it. No one needs this. Stop doing it. That's what this trailer felt like. Yeah. No one likes this. You've done this before. Like, I've seen you stab zombie heads through a gate infinite times. I don't need that. And that's 25% of this trailer. Honestly, the trailer is zombies getting stabbed in the face through a fence, mirror art, John Locke in a Monica Lewinsky military beret. That's real. And Rick looking sad. They almost got me with John Locke.
Oh, yeah,
back in the building.
For sure.
I'll be honest. I'll be vulnerable. Okay. I have weak spots.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
You do. Yeah.
I saw that. And I was like, oh, I'm listening and I'm interested. But then it's just, I feel like zombies and dystopias have evolved so much and gotten so much more interesting and creative.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think Andrew Lincoln had his lunch money stolen by Tony Goldwyn? Because they feel like the same person. They feel like the same person. Now, let me be clear. Tony Goldwyn, he, you know, Scandal, obviously.
Sure.
But then he kind of like was in Divergent, but like only minimally. But then he was in Oppenheimer.
Now, Tony Goldwyn's never had like the centerpiece thing that Andrew Lincoln has like with The Walking Dead.
Right.
And for a minute, like it was, you know, cultural phenomenon. But it does feel like Andrew Lincoln either had it stolen or just, you know, left home with the doors unlocked for a couple weeks and then walked in and was like, I'm surprised my lunch has been stolen because I've been in The Walking Dead forever. And I don't know if it's a deal with the devil. I don't know if it's, I signed a lifetime contract with AMC to be Rick.
Oh, maybe so.
But it's just, this is not interesting anymore, you know? Because I made a list of like three shows I'd rather watch.
Okay.
So, like show spinoffs that I would be more interested in watching than this. Okay. And it's Caillou in college, you know, like what's his major?
Yes.
What fraternity is he interested in? Where did he go? Is it SEC school? What's like, is he into intramurals? I don't like Caillou. I'm not interested, but I would be more interested in that. We've had regular middle-aged Sheldon. We've had young Sheldon.
Yes.
Let's go old. Let's close the loop, baby. Let's go trilogy
Cocoon
style.
Cocoon Sheldon. You know? Yay.
And then lastly, I'm actually kind of interested in this. You know, Gilmore Girls. Big deal, right? People love Gilmore Girls.
They freaking do.
What if
we
had golden Gilmore Girls? Okay. Ooh. Let's just get them older. Just old, kind of like old Sheldon.
What's it Alexis Bledel doing?
I don't know. Just her and
you know what she could do?
People.
She could break up some marriages in the home.
Okay.
That's what she could
See,
do.
It could either be that and they're older. They could be middle-aged. They could be elderly. Or it could be Alexis Bledel. She works in a retirement home among old people. And like that. And then she meets a love interest and she ruins someone's marriage. You know, it has an affair.
Is her character's vibe. So
and
yeah, no,
maybe
I'm
it's the
that.
Guy in the backwards hat. He's in the old home and she feels like she's got to take care of him or something.
I'm going to watch all three of those instead of Walking Dead : The Ones Who Maybe Lived.
Come on. Right? Come on, AMC. You're better.
Because you know that in that show, they're not going to get the two of them together for 7 seasons.
That's right. And then they will. And then
and
they'll
I'm
separate
not doing
them
that. I'm not doing that.
No,
no,
I don't need
I'm
that.
I'm not doing that.
Okay. What is the last thing you want to kill?
It's just Valentine's Day. Guys, I love love. I love dating. I love pheromones. I love it. For example, one of our staffers, Terrence Jackson, got married to beautiful Lauren, who maybe, are we the reason they're married? Maybe. Terrence was a guest on a Patreon episode of Faith Adjacent. And in that episode, he did a Q&A about being single. And he said, why don't you slide into those DMs if anybody's listening? And Lauren did. And they got married this weekend. And they are,
I think, 33% responsible. That has to
it
be.
It has
us,
to be.
You know,
listen, she is a Gorgina doctor. And the best part of this wedding was when Terrence came down the aisle because he couldn't kind of walk in from the side. So he had to go down the aisle to take his place. Raucous applause. Everybody applauded. I was like, how many grooms get applauded? How, when they're so beloved? So congratulations to Lauren and Terrence. on our team. We're so excited. But for me, look, here's the thing. Those are good things about love. Here's what's going to happen on Valentine's Day. We're going to get some daddy-daughter date photos. We're going to get some posts of people's weddings with the caption, forever lover, forever Valentine. Now, if you say lover, I'm okay with it. But if you say forever Valentine, you're out. As a reminder, like Knox said, this is a corporate holiday. And again, its origins, just as a quick reminder, come from February 13th to the 15th, the Romans would celebrate the feast of Lupercalia, and the men would sacrifice a goat and a dog, and then they would whip women with the hides of the animals they had just slain, and the young women would line up because they believed it would make them fertile. So unless you're doing that with your lover, I don't want to see your Valentine's post. I don't want to see them.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Either be real or stop it. It's ridiculous.
Be real and be like, hey, today my dog threw up in our car. And my child tried to poke my eye out, and my husband came at me, and I pushed him away. Like, he just was too much energy.
That's a dramatic day, honestly. Like, two members of the family tried to assault this woman, you know?
I feel like that's every mother everywhere. They're like, I'm constantly just keeping people away from me, just trying.
Did we just do an ad for Be Real? Not a sponsor, fake ad, but Be Real. Be Real.
Be Real.
Thank you for supporting our episode and our company.
Thank you.
Couple things. I want, this is going to sound like a baby man thing. Yeah. But I like applauding grooms.
Yes.
Let's bring applauding grooms back. I think that's
cool.
It was never here. Let's just start it.
Because they also applauded the bride. We also applauded the bride, but I've never heard anybody applaud the groom.
I mean, generally speaking, don't you like it when people get applauded in public?
Oh, it's always a win.
Like pilots when they land the plane.
No.
Right?
Not
exactly.
Then.
Thank you. I agree. That was called a trap. And
dang it. How dare you?
And then, so we're bringing back Lover. Applaud grooms, applaud pilots. I love that. I think that's a great message for the episode today.
That's
good
stuff. Yeah.
If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. KnoxGmail.com/541. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. My red light this week is tree pain. Hear me out. I'm actually pro Taylor in this discussion. I'm actually pro Taylor all the time. I listened to Taylor Swift this morning and I went to her concert and it's the best concert I've ever been to. I'm
the
pro Taylor.
The lady is protesting quite
Stop
a
it.
Bit.
Okay. But here's why. I think tree pain needs to be red lit for what she has created. Okay. Here's a quick overview. The Eras Tour resumes its 2024 run in Tokyo next week, February 7th. And she's going to do, she's going to perform. Okay. And in her Time Person of the Year interview, she said, Taylor said, the day after a show run, because normally in her 2023 runs, it was three shows in a row, almost always three shows in a row. And she performs for 3 hours straight, multiple outfit changes. She plays instruments, she sings, she sort of dances. It's a whole thing. Now, she said, the day after a show run, I take to the bed. I just get up, get food, take it right back to the bed because my body is broken and my voice is gone. And so I have to protect it for the next weekend's run. Now, those were when she's doing three shows in a row. When she goes in Tokyo next week, she's doing four shows in a row.
Whoa.
Four back to back. And you know what all of America has decided? That we got to get Taylor from Tokyo on February 10th to Las Vegas on February 11th, or she doesn't really love that man. Okay. Now, first of all, she's going to be there. Now, I know that. I know she's going to be at the Super Bowl.
She's got to be there, right?
She's an Enneagram 3, and you got a contract to fulfill. So you got to be there. Do you know what? And then, and the NFL will get her there. Like, they will do whatever it takes. But my issue with this is, it's a 17-hour time difference. Now, it does work in her favor. If you've ever seen The West Wing, you know that. That she's going to be able to, she's heading east, so that will work in her favor. She does own two private jets, but only one of them has enough fuel capacity to make that in one trip. And then, so they were like, well, she could leave at midnight in Tokyo. And because of the time change, she would land in Las Vegas around 5:30 p.m. the day before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Again, 17-hour time difference, has done four shows in a row. It's thing. And then the account manager, this is what I found interesting, at this private jet account manager said, well, I don't know where she's going to land because there are no open slots. I have four clients trying to land in Las Vegas the weekend of the Super Bowl and they cannot get clearance. There
That's
are
I
no,
feel like the NFL will be like, yeah,
the NFL
we
will
got
find
clearance.
A spot. That's right. So I'm not worried about that. And then the crazy part is, this is what we're demanding of Taylor to entertain us. We are demanding that she do four shows, do a 17-hour time difference, fly 10 and a half hours, show up, wear that TNT diamond bracelet he gave her, and then make her get back on a plane, and she has to fly back to Australia and do 7 shows in 10 days.
Okay, let me push back a little bit. Are we demanding that, or did they do this? Did they make this bed, and now it's going to be rough to lay in it?
Well, it's interesting, because one thing the Paramount jet guy said, he goes, now, if they've reserved this, if they had reserved it in the fall, then they'll have a slot. And I thought, oh, did they reserve it in the fall?
Oh,
did
wow.
the NFL know that the Kansas City Chiefs would win at all once they signed a contract with Taylor Swift to help support?
I wish they told me.
I cannot believe you bet against the Kansas City Chiefs knowing.
You told me last. I asked you in the lights last episode. I said, hey, you and Aaron. I said, I'm gonna bet on the Ravens, blah, blah. You're like, that's a good idea. I'm gonna play the clip right here. I'm gonna insert it right here. I've already bet $100 on the Ravens. I don't know that I can stop myself. I did cash out because here's the thing. The NFL didn't even need to do anything duplicitous because the Ravens just pooped the bed and then rolled around. So they didn't even need to do anything weird.
Yeah, I know.
But I think on the jet lag, I would spin zone it and just be like, anything over 6 is basically like just disorientation. So 17, 48, hour jet lag, time zone difference, it's all the same at that point. You're basically in a new day.
Anyway, I don't like treating Taylor like this. That's a lot of work. But hopefully she's getting paid. I hope she's getting paid.
The thing is, like, if she was just like, I'm busy, so I'm not going to be there because I take priority, I think everybody would understand it. But there's just no way she's turning down an opportunity.
Well, there's no way she's turning down that opportunity. It is a big deal. And I do think, like, there's a part of her that's like, I kind of like that the dads, Brads, and Chads have to put up with me. I think and I would feel the same way. I'd be like, yeah, they're here for me. They're not here for your stupid game. And the ratings are up. Like, the ratings are higher because she's there. I get it.
I talked about this with Jason on Over Underachievers, but if you're getting mad about Taylor Swift being at the game and they're cutting away to Taylor Swift, there's only 11 minutes of action in a game. They have to cut away to stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't it cool to go to a celebrity? That's better than the owner or someone else or a sponsor. And we were talking about how it'd be cool if every team had like a signature celebrity, like the Hunger Games,
yes.
like reverse. And it's just like, that's the really famous person that this team cuts away to every single time. And like their entrance to the stadium is like a big deal.
Is there anybody famous with the 49ers? Affiliated? Any wives or girlfriends or fans even?
The problem is you've gotten maybe one of the top 5 most famous people in the known world.
No, for sure.
To be. Yeah. So it's like, it's hard to be like, here's Joel McHale. You know, it just doesn't hit the same. But
no,
like, I would maybe zigzag kind of deal and go, it's McLovin. What's up? You know, unconventional. I don't know.
I would just like Taylor and McLovin to share a suite.
Yeah. They do like the coin flip, you know, like they have like a nice, a fun little bet with each other at the beginning. I don't know. We're just ideas.
Okay. What's your red light?
My red light is, it's a question, right? And is Smartless, the podcast, worth $100 million over 3 years for SiriusXM? Before we start recording, the news just dropped that they signed a deal to leave Amazon and Wondery to go with Sirius for $100 million over 3 years. So according to my calculations, really quick, I'll just like, that's $33 million-ish a year.
Yeah.
Do you think a podcast about 3 famous guys talking over their guest will generate that per year?
No, 100% no. I don't know what Sirius is, like, I don't know Sirius's deal. Listen, when people tell me, when I hear anyone reference a Sirius channel, I think,
yeah,
what? That's like saying Apple Music. What are you even talking about? Listen, there's probably a Venn diagram where people who have Apple Music also love Sirius. I don't know if that's true. Let us know. I'm sure you will. Let us know. But like, Sirius feels like, who's listening to Sirius? I thought we just all bought cars, had that for 90 days, and then unsubscribed. Like, I didn't know we listened.
Then you're like, I'll never know how to get Yacht Rock ever again because the 90 days is over and I'll have to like just go without. It doesn't make sense. Is this a shareholder deal? like where, like when Fox signed Tom Brady to become a color analyst last year, and like a 5-year deal for $100 billion or whatever. It was like, is this really going to happen? Or is it just like to goose the price? I don't know. But like, I think more importantly, I don't care if they make that money back or not. I'm just glad they're not with Amazon/Wondery anymore.
Yeah.
Because
all
Wondery
the, all
sucks.
The good ones left. Yeah.
That's
all
right.
All the good ones left.
So we left Wondery several months ago, not necessarily because we wanted to.
No.
We were frustrated with some of their ad tech because my fourth grader's teacher, her homeroom spreadsheet in Excel was like light years more advanced than Wondery's technology.
That's
to
correct.
Let us know what ads we'd booked. So whatever. But they stopped selling ads for us with no notice. This was like a 70% drop in our ad sales revenue across like 6 months. We're still feeling it. But look, you can change directions, you can make decisions, whatever. We're not entitled to anything. But I think the bigger problem was at the end of our relationship with them, they refused to respond to an email, refused to answer a phone call, refused to communicate with us in any way. And I think that's why a lot of times people talk about podcasting being in disarray. And I think it is because no one treats it like a real business. You just throw $100 million at, you know, three aging comedians and hope like it works. At one point, I was negotiating with Lex Friedman about what our ad rates should be. I don't know why I was doing that. I don't know what his capacity was with Wondery, but we were talking about rates and contracts, and I never spoke to him again. It was one conversation. He never spoke to me again. I never spoke to him again. It didn't make sense. So I have no ill will against SmartList, but I like the idea of Wondery and Amazon. I hope they have a bad day. I hope they have a really bad day right now. I hope their Keurig needs to be descaled, you know, inconveniently.
Oh, like and it's got little, and they can't do it. It keeps giving them an error. And so they can't get it.
I've never felt more ill-equipped for this life than when my Keurig was like, you need to descale me. And I was just like, that involves vinegar, doesn't it? I can't do that. What are you talking about?
No, you just buy a new Keurig. That's what I do. You just buy a new Keurig.
Isn't that, I mean, that's how adults handle
it. It's not great for the environment. Let me be clear. That's not great for the environment.
Yeah, but Keurigs aren't really either. So like if you're in for a penny, in for a pound, basically.
And listen, don't at me if any of you have bought a new printer when you ran out of ink. Do not at me. I know you did. So don't act like you didn't. That's right.
I don't have three printers in this room for that exact reason. Anyways, what's your green light, Jamie?
Okay. I have two green lights. The first is a TV series called The Artful Dodger. I kept getting ads for this, but I was like, I don't know if I can buy Thomas Brody Sangster, the little boy from Love Actually, although he is grown up. How you doing? He is grown. I have a look. This episode's weird. I don't like the tone that I've taken with all the children actors. Now, having grown up,
you know what?
I feel good about
It's good that you said it, not me.
Okay, good.
Right?
Okay, good. Listen, okay, but here's the thing: Thomas Brody Sangster was in the Queen's Gambit, and he was a little sexy in that, and so this fit perfectly. So it is an Australian TV show. It is a sequel to Oliver Twist, the novel by Charles Dickens, and he plays the Artful Dodger. And then David Thewlis is the guy that you see in some, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad he's here, because he's just a great character actor. He plays Fagin. It's an 8 episode series. Jack Dawkins, who Thomas plays, he is a former Royal Navy surgeon. He kind of becomes this respectable doctor in this up-and-coming town, but he was also once a pickpocket, and his secrets are about to become known. And there's a fun romance in it that really does, it's just excellent. It's a slow burn. It's so good. It has a raucous energy. It is pretty gruesome because we are removing legs in the 1850s. So just know that there is, and I mean, they are doing close-ups. They're like, did you see it? Did you see where he cut the bone? Did you see it? So just know that. But this is a very fun show. I was so sad when it was over. I was like, I need another season, like immediately. And then my second green light is connected to, again, we were on Currently Reading podcast, and we got to talk about our five favorite books of 2023 and some fun other bookish things. And in that episode, I talked about a book I was reading that I was loving, and it is my green light, which is Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson. If you've been here a minute, I give a green light to his first novel, Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone, which is just a fun, like if you're looking for a thriller that's cozy and a murder that's cozy, murders are cozy in the winter, They don't happen as
but
much.
But they do happen more in the summer.
That's right. So these murders are cozy, unlike summer murders, which are brutal. So if you like Richard Ausman, you will love this book. But I do recommend that you read the first book, because this is a continuation. Ernest Cunningham, who is the protagonist in the first book, he's back. He is now he is in a murder mystery happening on a train, because he's going to a writing festival that happens on a train, and he's with these other authors on a panel, and one of the authors is murdered, and the remaining authors turn into both detectives and suspects. It's so funny. Benjamin Stevenson is a stand-up, and he's a great writer, and he writes very funny, which is hard to do in fiction, and so it's a great book. I highly recommend it.
My green light this week is a movie. I randomly saw that it was going to be in my city last week, and I was so excited. It's American Fiction. For American Fiction, it was one of those, it's like the Zone of Interest. I have such high expectations.
Yes.
When that happens, usually I get a little worried. You know, going into it, is like, will it meet my expectations? And this certainly did. It also super subverted expectations in a big way. American Fiction, it's based on a book, and it's adapted, but it's from Cord Jefferson, who directed and wrote it. Cord Jefferson, I think, was a blogger, and then he wrote for The Good Place, wrote for Watchmen, wrote for several other shows. So this is his debut in terms of features. But it follows Jeffrey Wright as a frustrated but very talented novelist who is kind of done with establishment publishing, profiting from Black entertainment stories as reality, when it's kind of heightened versions of what white audiences want to read, and hijinks ensue when he panders to that, and it unexpectedly gets a lot of momentum. The thing I didn't realize about this movie was, secretly, it's super heartful. And it kind of, obviously, I won't spoil anything, but this is really kind of a family drama that's hidden a little bit, almost like cloistered by the premise, which is a great sticky premise. But it gets you into this really elegant family drama with a lot of layers and a lot of pain, but also like a lot of joy. The cast is immense. Tracy Ellis Ross, Issa Rae, John Ortiz. I've watched him recently from Silver Linings Playbook. Same kind of vibe here. He's infinitely likable. The incomparable Adam Brody shows up and is just, he's not in it for a long time, but he's in it for a good time. The biggest revelation, who continues to be a revelation in everything he does, is Sterling K. Brown. He is so electric in this. There's almost like Joker vibes, you know, like the movie comes alive when he's around. And when it's not, it's like, when do we get back to him? Because he's so much fun to hang out with, but he's really great. So I urge everybody, check this out. This is one of those original stories we talk about. And the third act really takes some big swings and big chances that your mileage may vary on. Some people might get frustrated with because it's not conventional. But I appreciate a singular storyteller telling an original story in an unconventional way. And that's what American Fiction is.
And it got 5 Oscar nominations, including Sterling K. Brown.
That's right. That's right. Very well deserved. I look forward to hearing everybody's reactions to American Fiction. That is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to Amazon.com/shop/the podcast first. So you purchase using our affiliate link. If you're item purchase using that link, this week was, Jamie, this is a large box of Rice Krispies cereal.
Okay. Is it large? Because I went in, it's 12 ounces.
Oh my gosh. Well, it says in the title, large.
And it says large. Like, that's 100% right. It says large, has 8 servings. I clicked on the picture that shows the nutritional content. I was like, this has 8 servings. Guys, this has 4.8 stars with 6,000 global ratings. That's illogical. This box costs $13.99.
That's too much.
What is happening? My favorite review acknowledges this. Comes from Stephen Lytle, who gave it 1 star and said, really? How can a box of Rice Krispies be $13.79? Is there a prize inside? Like, I don't know, a free $10 bill with every purchase of a $13.79 box of Rice Krispies? And he ends it, my favorite way of reviews ends with, geez. All right, you guys, today, again, as a reminder, is the last day, not of all time, but of our Princess Collection. I'm not messing with you. So if you would like to grab our collection that you get to have and own forever and listen to it as anytime you want, head to knoxandjamie.com/annual to become an annual best friend of the show. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.